Welcome in. It's the Three Wise Men, everybody. I'm Danny Holbrook alongside Miles Holiday and Nate Garlock. Gentlemen, there's not much traffic on the tournament trail because teams are falling off.
It's almost like the bracket gets smaller.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird how when people lose, they don't get to play anymore.
Yeah.
This is really weird.
I don't know how the people listening to this would have figured out how things worked if you two weren't here to
explain. Well, they're not listening. They're watching. This isn't radio, Nate.
Well, you can just turn something on and not watch it.
See that camera right there? That's you. You're on that.
Yeah. But you can also just listen.
Well.
I want to personally, though, to the audience and to you, Danny, I want to thank you for dressing up today.
Well, yes. One of us has to. We all can't come in looking like we just rolled off the...
That is something else.
If Dorothy were making green dresses, that is the one she'd make.
Hey, do you guys want to see a picture?
No, wait, do you guys want to see a photo?
What? Are you moonlighting at Bob Evans for St. Patrick's Day?
Maybe.
Do you want rolls with those chicken and noodles, sir? Are you going to pay with your AARP card?
For somebody that's real worried about something, you talk an awful lot.
All right, let's talk basketball. You guys are awful. Awful to deal with. All right, guys, the Diamond Dave Bowen, best thing we saw all week. Who do I start with? You know, I've never started this.
You should start
I've never started this. Guys, I had Marion Local Coldwater in the district finals, and Braden Mesher and Mason Welch put on a clinic defensively. It was mano a mano. Those two guys went at it all night, and it was as pure a basketball as you're ever going to see. Two great athletes fighting for their schools, and it was an incredible game. And we're going to talk about the district finals and the atmospheres and stuff like that. That was special that night. Those two guys are really good. And then you had Cale Arns, the 6'3 sophomore, was guarding Baylen Blockberger, who may be, after Cam Elward, the best player in the MAC in that matchup all night. I'm telling you, it had me so fired up. It was as fun a game as I've done all year. I really enjoyed it. That's the best thing I saw this week.
Go figure. Coldwater and Maryland.
I know, right? Wow, it's weird having a good game.
Who saw that one?
Do you have more?
I do not have more.
I have a couple things.
I'm going to give my time to you guys.
All right. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, the Bounce Brothers, who we have on the show this week, right? That pass off the backboard, brother to brother, boom, slam dunk. It was absolutely amazing, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
The Bounce Brothers off the glass. Did you think he should have got the technical? I didn't think the technical should have been.
No, he had to protect himself. If he just let go, he was going to hurt himself. Like, sometimes you have to, as an official, I think, when you see these dunks, you have to – he wasn't hanging on it, swinging, making motions, yelling, hollering. He had to let himself hang for an extra second so he could get his feet underneath him. I thought that was a pretty silly technical. I love officials.
I think, you know, Jim Tarr wouldn't have called that.
Absolutely not.
What other officials have we had on here?
But I think if you can hang on the rim and do whatever you want in the rim, let them do it, right? You can still inbound it and run up the floor, right? Yeah.
So there's no one in Lima Land that has a better vertical than Willie Foster.
Not even close. So my second, other than the dunk, was we were at Liberty Benton for the district final game. Nate was there also. Did you go in a hospitality room?
I did not, but I heard about it.
Okay, the hospitality room, see this table?
Yeah.
It was full of Lee's chicken fingers. Just a giant pile of Lee's chicken fingers.
With locations in Bellefontaine, Marysville, and Lima.
Very good.
Bellefontaine, Marysville.
Now, they're not just famous for chicken.
They're famous for catering, too.
That's right. Yes, they are. Good. Yeah. But our camera guy, Peyton Gillian, he went in, and you would have thought, like, he saw the Ark of the Covenant or something. He was oh, look at all those chicken fingers. Yeah. He put them in his pockets.
Oh, like Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, because he wanted to save some for halftime. So that was absolutely
smart.
That was amazing.
Why are you making fun of the guy? I'd have done the same thing.
But the best one was Trevick Berkey in that final game. How good was he?
It wasn't just the final game. The whole week was fantastic.
Right.
I mean, that Shawnee moved on the back of Trevick Berkey.
Without a doubt. 25 points was absolutely amazing. But after the game, gave him the WSN District Championship title belt, right? And he's holding it over his head, and the Shawnee fans were just going nuts.
Yep.
That was so much fun. He just like, how do I put it on? Do I put it over my shoulder? Because, you know, he's never been a WWE World Champ or anything like
that. Your title belt has gained so much traction that it legitimately held up the award ceremony of the OHSAA runner-up and district title. They waited until Miles got done with his interview, the half-court shot, the championship belt, he celebrates with the student section, everybody cheers, and then as they leave the floor, now, okay, we'll award all the OHSAA hardware.
If you walk in the OHSAA offices in Columbus, it's like a post office. They've got a picture of Miles up there. He's not allowed to do
it. They're just throwing darts at it.
We did not give away the half-court shot. Yeah. It's just a bell.
No.
Nate, how about
you? Oh, yeah, it's my turn. We still have a show to do at this point. All right, good deal. So for me, so I spent most of my week in Elida. I was at Liberty Benton a couple nights, but I was also over in Elida for three nights. And I got to see some really good games. We had some really good district title games. But I did get to see some history, and is always special. Jaron Swick from Fort Jennings.
Ooh, he's a good one.
Not only did he help lead Fort Jennings to a district championship, in that process, he became the all-time leading scorer in Fort Jennings history.
Amazing.
They've had some really good teams. That's a program that I know maybe hasn't been in the limelight, you know, here in a while, but that's a program that has a rich history.
Got a state title.
Yep, has a lot of great players that have come through there, and now Jaron Swick stands atop all of them as the all-time leading scorer. It's a huge accomplishment. I'm sure it means even more being able to do it in that setting, you know, in that environment, because Putnam County was empty. Okay.
There was
nobody left in Putnam
PCL
County.
PCL was as competitive as it's been in a long time. Great conference.
District semis, four PCL teams. District title, obviously, then would have been two PCL teams. The atmospheres, and we're going to talk more about that later, but, I mean, it was a great environment. Jaron Swick stepped up. It was great watching him. And then in the other districts that I was in, LCC. It was an NWC district. You had LCC Bluffton, Columbus Grove, Crestview. Ended up being LCC Crestview for the district title. LCC came out on top. But in full disclosure, because it's on record, and I'm sure Nick will drop it here, I did not pick LCC to come out.
Roll that tape.
I had LCC. Actually, I was really high on Bluffton.
It was
a good team. I really thought after watching them beat Elida that they had turned a corner. Things were setting up well for them. And LCC's had some injuries. You weren't sure how that was going to play out. LCC played fantastic. Watching them get through that district, being a district champion yet again. Jeff Williams is growing up before.
Jazzy Jeff,
he is growing up before our eyes. Yeah. He has really stepped up over the last few weeks, ever since Zod Burton has gone down with that ankle injury. Jordan Pretty, he is – I don't know that you will find a better pull-up shooter in our area, maybe in the state, than Jordan Pretty. It doesn't matter. I mean, people can be in his nostril, and he will still pull up and drain a shot. He has such a pure shooting motion. It's so much fun to watch him.
Well, all three of us put him on our top five team, right?
Oh,
no, yeah. 100%.
He's absolutely one of the top five players in Lima.
Absolutely.
A three-level scorer that you can't stop.
Yeah, so it's districts, and now we're on to regionals, and it's been – basketball's only getting that much better. One of the great things about districts is you don't get a lot of fresh matchups, and people might be like, well, no, you want to – no.
No, that's exactly what you want.
Backyard fight.
Absolutely. These teams know each other. They play with each other. Now you put so much more on the line. Districts was a fantastic week, and I can't wait for this week with regional.
It's interview time, everybody, and we are joined by three Lima senior Spartans, Coach Quincy Simpson, Sean Foster, and Willie Foster. Guys, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Definitely. Coach, let's get right to it. What a fantastic season. Another fantastic season for the Spartans. Going down the tournament trail. Let's talk about the season in a capsule.
I mean, it's been a long grind. We've been at it hard since last April, May, pretty much last May. After our season last year, I kind of give those guys a break from me. I need a break from them. But once May came rolling around, you know, most of these guys play AAU and I coach AAU, and so we do need a break. But, you know, once May started to roll around and then June picked up, we laid a foundation on how we wanted to play, how we wanted to be. We had one goal, that's to win a state championship. And we've been going extremely hard ever since. And so I remember Sean, we were doing a defensive drill in June. And I remember Sean asking, like, why are we doing this now? We don't have a game for 6 months. And him and I talked about that last week, and it's like, it goes fast. And so here we are. You know, it's been has been tremendous, but we have not cut any corners. We have not taken any shortcuts. And so I think the success that we've had, we all can date back to, you know, we've done it the right way and put the time in.
Yeah. Sean, Willie, obviously, we, you know, off the air, we're having a really good time, and you guys are having a great time with Coach. And what's it like playing for Coach Q, man? I mean, look, this is one of the most prestigious basketball programs in the state of Ohio. When people say Lima Senior, everybody knows Lima Senior. If Coach Q walked out the door today, there'd be 100 applicants, you know, for that job. This is a prestigious program. What's it like playing for Coach Q?
It's good playing for Q. He's been like an uncle to me ever since I was born. So just to come to high school, play for him, win games, and have a chance to win a state championship, it's just been feeling good.
Yeah, for sure. Coming over here was great. Getting to know him, creating a great bond. And now it's good to play with my cousin, second cousin.
Hey guys, there's a lot of stress throughout a season, right? Especially when a season you guys have high expectations, right? Yeah. What do you guys do to cope with that stress? I mean, you guys are having a good time. You're smiling. You're laughing. Not a lot of teams are like that this time of year. Everybody's kind of a stress ball. How do you guys deal with it?
These guys joke around nonstop. Not only these guys. I got about six of them on the team that's nonstop. You know, they clown with me, clown with each other. You know, it does create a culture of relaxation, a culture of family. You know, it's good that they do have the relationship that they can, you know, clown around with us, with other coaches. You ought to see some of our bus rides on the way home.
I would like to take that bus ride.
Those are some memorable experiences, to say the least.
All right, what goes on the bus, guys?
It's a lot of jokes, a lot of jokes, a lot of playing around. Coaches are getting mad. Us still playing around. It's all fun games.
The one thing I noticed about you guys, and Miles and I were calling the Dunbar game, and Jakel Cotton just went nuts. I mean, he just went on. That was for me as good a performance as I've seen all year. And I look over, and you guys and that whole bench and that whole coaching staff were cheering like he was playing for you guys. I mean, that's a family thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you know, in today's generation of sports, especially basketball, it's kind of like the microwave syndrome. Everybody wants to get theirs right away. I mean, Jakel, Sean, Willie, you know, Amari, you know, these guys could go to a lot of schools and put up 25, 30 points a game. Mm-hmm. You know, that was one of the things that we had to get these guys to understand. To win a state title, to have a chance to even play for a state title, to have a chance to have a high level, to bring college coaches in, you have to be willing to give up something, you know, for something greater later. And they have. You know, it hasn't been easy. You know, these guys live in a community like Lima where a lot of people are in their ear. You should be doing this. You should be doing more of that. This kid shouldn't be doing that. You know, but they've been able to have some tough skin. And I know it probably hasn't been easy, but they've been able to stay locked in together, allowing us, me and my staff, to continue to coach them hard, coach them the right way. You know, they joke around a lot, but they know, you know, time and place, and they understand the dynamics of that. And I think, again, that creates a culture of a family atmosphere. We spend a lot of time together off the floor. You know, I'm constantly at his house. His mom and dad are close friends with me. The core of our team, you know, these guys literally grew up together. And so it is really a family dynamic. And so that's what makes us closer. I think that's what makes us want to play harder for each other as well.
Well, in families, sometimes brothers don't get along. Like you should see Nate and Danny sometimes off the camera, right? When there's those moments, how do you guys deal with those? Because sometimes brothers don't get along.
Communication, for sure. Talk a lot. Come together.
I thought maybe you guys would have a dunk off to see who's right or wrong. No?
Yeah, nobody. He's winning that. So nobody.
You know, so expectations, right? Coming into this year, obviously the expectations were sky high. You know, Sean, you've had a ton of eyes on you for a couple of years now. Obviously, Willie, you coming over, the dynamics going on in your guys' team, the talent level that you have, Q, all the stuff that goes along with that. There was a lot of expectations on this team to begin the season. Having the expectations and then turning those expectations into reality are two different things. Mm-hmm. How have you guys been able to maintain those expectations? Talking about at the beginning of the season, hey, we have a chance to potentially, if we do things the right way, end up down at UD playing for a state title, that's heavy expectations. That's a lot to put on, you know, you as a coach and you as a player. How have you guys been able to manage those expectations to not only obviously have success this season, but actually put yourselves in a position to be one of the teams that they're talking about as the favorites?
Just practicing and just everything that we talk about, just turning into reality. Practicing hard, not taking no shortcuts, and just going hard every day for each other.
How do you keep them from looking ahead? I mean, at the end of the day, we talk about this all the time, right? Kids are kids. Like, mm-hmm. And we live in a world where trying to pretend like we can shut them out of social media or news, right, or whatever, it just is, it's not a thing. How do you keep these guys from looking ahead and talking about what they can do instead of what they need to do?
You know, we talk about that a lot. You know, obviously, for example, before we played Anthony Wayne, all we ever heard was regionals at Elida. And so it's kind of like I would shut those conversations down. We have to play Anthony Wayne at Faustoria. You know, we have to play Toledo Waite at Faustoria. And so it's good to have a regional game in our hometown, but it all goes back again to June, May and June, and just minimizing the small things, you know, and I'm sorry, maximizing on the small things, playing together, keeping your head grounded, being level-headed, not locking in totally into social media. Because that can be a gift or a curse.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I told these guys they don't always have to post, you know, things about themselves. But I understand the world that we live in, because there's a lot of highlights on my team, particularly these guys. But, you know, I think the way that we coach them, you know, Sean is talented, Willie is talented. We have other, you know, Jaquel is talented, Amari Addy is talented. But we coach these guys as if they're regular basketball players, and there's always more room to get better, more room to go. You know, we don't allow them to take days off. You know, I know for a fact, and I haven't seen, and they can attest to this, I haven't seen every team in the state practice from, you know, September on. There's not a team that practices as hard as we do. There's not a team that's done the stuff, weight room, track, 5 a.m. I just know it hasn't. And so we hoping, you know, those things, you know, when you're baking that cake, putting those ingredients in that cake, putting that cake in the oven and waiting patiently for that cake to bake, we hope that the cake is baking and it'll be done the right way.
Well, I can attest to it because I talk about it on broadcast. I've talked about it on radio, on TV when we do things. There isn't a team that you guys are ever going to step on the floor with that is in better shape, better condition. I've seen you guys out at the track running stairs, you know, in April, May. Season's over. It doesn't matter. Yep. They're right back at it. I mean, I would put a very large sum of money that there is not a single team in the state of Ohio that does the extra work like you guys do. And obviously, you know, it's paying off for you.
Now, absolutely. Nate does go out of his way to point out that you're not running. They're running. He's just coaching.
And Nate has been a lot. Hey, Coach, let me ask you this. You talk about the family and you talk about the things that you guys do and the hard work. What are some non-negotiables that Coach Q does not put up with? All right, see, I knew I was going to get that reaction. I knew I was going to get that. Oh, yeah. Maybe that's a question for you guys.
It's a lot.
One. No pajamas.
No pajamas. Okay. All right.
No weird stuff, like saying weird stuff. He don't put up with that at all.
He doesn't tolerate bad language.
Okay.
Not at all.
What's the maddest you've ever seen him?
What is the maddest? I would probably say one of the first couple weeks of practice, I told him we can't win the state title unless they hate me. So I said, I want to run you guys so much every day until you start hating.
Did you hate him?
Yes.
That was a quick yes.
No, he didn't. Sean just said, yeah.
So back, along with those expectations, obviously, Willie, you know, when you came over to Lima Senior and you transferred in, that you know, obviously went around on social media. People all of a sudden, Lima Senior is now a favorite. Willie is coming in. These guys can't be beat. How's it been for you coming into a program that has been so well established? I mean, the history just since Coach Q's taken over to now with the players that have come through there and success that he has, and then now you coming in and people thinking, oh, now that you're here, here's another expectation level we want you to get to. How have you been able to handle that?
It's been good for just staying level-headed for sure, not trying to get too deep in. It's great coming over here playing with people I've been playing with my whole life, for sure.
Now, let's go back to one of those non-negotiables. Coach Miss dunks. How do you deal with miss dunks?
You know, I don't. You know, back when I played, you know, if you missed a dunk, you would come out.
Yeah.
That was the thing back when I played. I mean, I just don't see a reason.
Okay.
You know, obviously, Willie attacks the rim. He puts a lot of pressure on the rim. He's going to miss some dunks, but I know that he does it enough that he's not purposely trying to. We don't want him to miss dunks. We don't want Sean to miss dunks. You know, but it happens. You know, I'm not the type of coach to get guys out. There was one time he missed two dunks, and I did get somebody off the bench.
I remember that.
And then I put him back down, you know.
Well, Willie, just to let you know, I've never missed a dunk.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm just letting you know.
Yeah.
Have
you ever dunked?
Does it matter? Does it really matter? Coach, let me ask you this. You've coached a lot of players and a lot of great players. What was it like coaching your own children?
I'm coaching my son now.
Yeah, I know, right.
And it's, you know, I think the difference is with with X, you know, it was all basketball, right? It was
focused
workout
the time,
in the mornings, practice. Then we go home and we still talking about practice or workouts or something or something. And after a while, you know, you got to really step back and realize you still got to be a dad. You know, so, you know, I think me and X's relationship is really strong because I was able to separate myself from just always being trainer, coach.
Yeah.
But I can also be dad and still have him be comfortable with talking to me as a person outside of a coach. And it's the same way with my son, Baby. We call him Baby. His name's Noah. You know, when he comes home, we don't really talk basketball, you know, unless it's a college game or something like that on. You know, these guys, for the most part, they go home and they go right to their rooms, you know. But when me and Baby sit around and talk, if it's one of those practices that was rough, then we kind of talk a little bit about it. But I want to be a guy that, you know, him and like these other guys can come to me about anything. You know, I've had some coaches that I can go talk to about anything and didn't really feel like I was being judged or couldn't have certain conversations. And these guys, the relationship that we have off the floor, they know they talk to me about a lot of different things, and that just makes it more for us, the family, again, the family dynamics, that makes it comfortable for those guys to be able to do that.
So it's okay if he steals your coat and wears it around. That's okay.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
All right.
Okay. Well, Kudo, like, you do judge us sometimes when we come talk to you, for sure.
I probably do.
So for you guys, obviously, the Lima Senior Program has had a lot of really good basketball players in it, right? Mm-hmm. They've had two Mr. Ohio basketball players. A lot of talented guys have come through those programs over the years. Do you guys, you know, look up to those guys? Do you guys try to chase some of those records? Like, what is like being part of that program and knowing the history of Lima Senior basketball? What has that done for you guys in your game? Does that make you, you know, try to chase that history and want to put your names up on the wall along with those guys?
Yeah. I look up to X.
Xavier Simpson, Captain Hook.
Trav.
The Trav, yeah. But X, he was here. He did a lot of good things. They say that he the best player to ever come out of Lima Senior. So I'm just trying to beat him every day that I can and get past that.
I think you guys, when I was a kid growing up, and we listened to Lima Senior basketball on the radio all the time, and Andre Reed and Bruce Andrews and Travis Walton. And, I mean, I could go on and on and on. And Andre Reed graduated in 85, and I know that was a long time ago, but I'm telling you, man, he was so good. And I just remember being a kid.
Andre.
I remember being a kid watching him play. And that's this whole team. I mean, those guys I mentioned were spread out over 10, 12 years. And it just seems like this lineup you got, you got three or four of those guys on this roster.
You know? Andre's a guy that's, you know, obviously he's a close friend and been knowing him my whole life. He was a guy that I would, you know, kind of judge my game back when I would come home from college and play against him. I would be able to tell me how much better I got, you know, but these guys like X and Travis Walton, you know, Tyler White has a big part, you know, helping training these guys, you know, but, you know, we wish there were other guys that were really good in the program that would leave her, that would pour into them in some way, shape, or form because they're around here.
Right.
You know, but, you know, X is in a totally different country. Travis is way across the country. And for those guys to, I mean, they communicate with our team daily.
Oh, wow.
We're in a group text. They're texting these guys on a daily basis. And so it means a lot when they don't necessarily have to do that. But I think these guys, you know, he goes out to California and trains with Travis in the summer. And so I think small stuff like that goes a long way.
Bring up a little bit of a bad memory. You guys lost to Shawnee, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes losses are a good thing, right? As long as they happen early in the year.
Definitely.
How has this team grown since that loss to Shawnee?
I'll let them answer it.
It made us come together for sure. Didn't really break us apart like it. People made it seem like people talk down on the city, or people from the city talk down on us. We stayed together.
It was an amazing atmosphere, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was. I think losing to Shawnee, you know, like for us, and we talked about it as a team. You started to see people's true colors.
Yeah,
because there were a lot of things. I'm not on Facebook, but there were a lot of things being said. There were a lot of things being said in the community about, you know, our team, me, players. We heard it all, you know, and so that at that point is when we all kind of locked arms even tighter and said, you know, we still got one goal to accomplish. And, you know, I would hate to lose a game, you know, especially when you lose to a team that's right here in your own city. I didn't think we approached the game the same way that Shawnee did. They played a phenomenal game, well coached, and they executed a really good game plan. But I think we needed that loss. I don't know if we would be here now if we didn't. You know, because I did see the seriousness that though our team had coming after that game. We went through about a week stretch after that where they hurt a lot, and it was kind of like, you know, what are we going to do now? And so we were dealing with a lot. You know, Jaquel's father passed.
You're right.
You know, he's still and we know he still hasn't had the time to grieve. You know, things kept going. We've had some other situations go on with our team, you know, that people don't know about, but it did bring us together. And I think we started to understand, like, if we're going to play a certain way and do things a certain way, we have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to what we were doing in December. And they bought into that, and I think that's where we are. That's why we are where we are now.
Before we get to the rapid-fire questions, let's talk a little bit about some guys that aren't here. Let's talk about Amari Addy. I mean, he's a special player. Boog Wilson, who comes from the football team, and he just, you know, he's such a great athlete. And then your son, Noah, and then the 6'4 post player, I forget his name. Greer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you just go down the line. I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Amari, if you watch our team and you've never knew who these guys were, you would just probably say that thing goes because of Amari. You know, most basketball people know
game,
that.
Yeah.
You know, he does a lot. I think he had his best game against Anthony Wayne at both ends of the floor. The way he facilitated, the way he distributed the ball, the way he guarded defensively. And Boog is just a freak athlete. You know, probably the fastest kid on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Really aggressive, really athletic, can do a lot of different things. A kid that, you know, has taken a backseat role to have an opportunity to win. So we're thankful for those guys. Boog's a senior. He's done a really good job of leading. And Deshaud is the ultimate glue guy. Doesn't care about minutes.
I said that on our broadcast, didn't I?
Doesn't complain. And Baby is a guy that's kind of just gotten better slowly but surely. I think now he's to the level where these guys really believe he can help. And so it wasn't always that way for him. And so, again, he just kept his head down, kept working, and this is where we are now.
So let me ask you about the end of the season. You're scheduled to end about the last 2.5-3 weeks of your year was a grind.
It was.
I mean, you guys at one point, I think, played 7 games in maybe 9 days because of the track semifinals in that tournament. Then you had Perrysburg in there. You had the Lyman Cup that you went in there. You had a Huber Heights game.
Yep.
It was a heck of a road to finish the year. I know that you build your schedule intentionally. What was the intent in trying to get that schedule like that, to get these guys ready for that tournament run?
Well, two of those games with the city, our conference moved their dates. We were supposed to play those guys a week later, but when some of those teams had to play sectional tournament games, so they shifted that date back a week, so it made us be in a position to play semifinal, Perrysburg, and final, which wasn't bad. And then we had to turn around and play LCC and then Huber Heights. And there was a game a week before. I didn't anticipate us winning all those games. Me and my staff said we may take a loss. You know, these kids' legs are going to be beat. But we said we're going to slow down on the full court press because we got to be able to, you know, save our legs, obviously. These guys, we do ice baths regularly. But to get through that stretch and to do it the way that we did it, and those games were a lot of road games as well, too. It kind of like just checked off another box of how ready these guys are and how mentally locked in they can be. Because after the LCC game, to me, I didn't think these guys wanted to play Huber Heights. I thought they were ready to just, let's get on with the tournament.
Right. Yeah,
and then
right.
The way that we played at Huber Heights, I'm like, yeah, we got a chance.
The weather day helped you out a little bit there.
The weather day definitely helped us out.
Let me ask you this, Willie, and Coach talked about that LCC game, and you come over from LCC. What was your emotions going into that game? And, you know, I don't know if you took any flack about coming over. I don't know the circumstances, but what was your mindset going into that game? I know you want to win, obviously. You want to win every game.
I knew they were going to be, their student section were going to be all in my ear, and they definitely were, but really didn't have much high emotion for the game, just like another game.
Now, how'd you guys feel about that stretch of those games to finish that year? Like, what'd that do for you guys? Did you guys like being able to play that many games because then you didn't have to go to practice? Was it, you know, at some point where you're like, all right, you know what, we need a break? I mean, how was that stretch to finish the year for you two?
It was cool, but our body was hurting. We was tired, but we just knew that every game, no matter what, we still had to come out and play out our best and just win the game.
Do you think it got you guys ready for this tournament run?
Yeah.
Sean, I was watching, or I was listening to ESPN Radio the other day, and they were talking about a big game down in Atlanta, Georgia this weekend, Pace Academy and another school, and you lit Pace up, man. Is that flying to the Hoop Classic, yeah. What was your mindset going into that game? I mean, that was a national stage. Everybody was talking about it.
My mindset going to the game was just win. Everybody was down this. They didn't think we was going to win that game because they're a national team, so we just got in there. All I want to do is win and just play my best and help my team win the game.
You got the MVP of the tournament, right?
Or, yeah.
Yeah. First team or, yeah, however they do. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Fire
guys,
away.
I have some rapid fire. Then Danny, let's follow up with Scott Airport. Big one on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So I'll go back and forth. Coach, I'll start with you. Okay. LeBron or Jordan?
What? LeBron?
No, you better know who he can. You better know that. AAU.
Right.
He's talked to the guy. He's friends with the guy.
Number two, Coach, favorite detective show?
Favorite detective show? Yeah. First 48.
First 48. Yeah,
First 48.
Good, I thought you'd say Quincy.
Not a detective show.
I thought a science but detective.
Yeah. First 48.
Guys, heart. On the team, who wins a one-on-one tournament?
Amari Addy.
Hold on now. Ooh. His coach is included.
Oh.
Yeah. All right, not for Quincy.
Quincy, all right.
His coach is included.
Nah, nice. I'm taking the test.
Nice. Nice. Look,
I haven't beat Willie.
I know, I beat him.
You've never played me, though.
But he won't play me.
Who won't?
Sean knows. I've been.
He gets that.
No, listen. Dude, this is what happened. We played open gym, Q played, and he left the gym hurt. Like, he was hurting.
Who hurt
me? I don't know. He keeps blaming it on me.
All right, Coach, staff members only. Who's the best dresser on your staff?
Ivory Alston.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Guys, who's the toughest dude on the team?
Book.
Really?
Book, yeah.
All right. All right. Coach, favorite cartoon?
Tom and Jerry.
I know. Did you see the incredulous look? Like, come on.
These guys are like the Three Stooges. These guys have no idea.
Guys, who has the best hair on the team?
Hold on. Wait.
Tecoria.
Baby James Bankston.
James. Okay. All right. And last one, you guys answer this one. Are beards cool?
Yeah, I love Q's beard.
You're already starting. What are you doing?
Yeah, I think.
He's not taking you out.
No.
He said no. Guys, you done. Big game this week, Cincinnati Winton Woods. They came in with 22 wins, big-time program. Give us your thoughts and what you're concerned about.
They're almost a carbon copy of us. Really athletic guys. They got a couple guys that can shoot it really well. One guy can play. Athletic, big. So, you know, we're hoping that, again, that we get the Lima crowd behind us. They're not going to do anything, like, extraordinary offensively. They just want to, you know, probably try to get up in you defensively, run offensively. If we can execute at both ends, if we can win at the glass, I think we'll be fine.
What's your thoughts, Sean, on this game?
Just come in and play how we've been playing. We play tough, aggressive, hard, make shots, rebound, and we'll for sure come out with the W.
Willie, if you played Whitmer again, how bad would you beat him?
I don't want to talk about that right now.
Ask the question. All right. Make him answer it, Coach.
I think we'll probably beat him by 20 or more.
I thought so. You guys look mad after that game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you should have won that game. Guys, we thank you so much for coming and really appreciate it. Best of luck against Cincinnati Winton Woods.
And well, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Good luck on Wednesday. We love watching you guys play.
Thank you. Definitely. Thank you.
Say cheese, Q. Q, say bye.
You know what? Let's just get right to it, guys. Sure. Let's preview the games this week. We've got some great ones. Let's start with game one, Tuesday night at Elida. Fort Jennings, Delta St. John's, Mark Schein, Jerry Snodgrass on the call. Guys, I don't know if we're going to see a game with two players that lead their team as good as these guys, Fort Jennings, Jaron Swick, as you mentioned, and Delta St. John's, Cam Elwer. It's maybe, you know, we don't talk much about Jaron Swick, but he's top 10 in Lima, let's be honest. He is really, really
good. Great player.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah, like we just said, you know, setting records over Fort Jennings. However,
yes.
All right. No shade on Fort Jennings. It has been a great season. Coach Dex told he's done a good job
over
there. It has been
a great season. Oh, you're putting it past tense.
Yeah.
Are you calling this one? Look at the camera and call it.
I'm listen. At this point, get that camera on me.
Something you never hear Danny say, right?
Yeah, he's like, no one camera. Right?
Hey, I'll pick
no,
it.
Listen. I really do think that maybe the worst thing that could have happened for teams that are going to be facing Delta St. John's over the next few games is that first quarter of the Minster game, because they came out a little slow in that district title game. They got it taken to them. They're down.
They fixed it.
They fixed it. And they fixed it quickly. And sometimes things like that are what teams need to get themselves refocused.
Yeah.
And if you get a refocused St. John's team and this is who we get the rest of the way, watch out.
Yeah, I'm not sure when this one's going to be over, but it might be over Swick. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we are so reaching. Is this where we're at the point of the season? Yeah, we've been doing this now for 26 episodes.
Miles, look, right? That's a good pun, but can we get on with this?
Look, I like Fort Jennings. We talked last week about that district. Anyone could win it, right, because they're all pretty much the same team. Well, they did. They did a great job.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, man, they're running against DSJ. And come on. They play this game 10 times, 9 times, maybe 10 times. DSJ wins it. So I'm going to go with DSJ. Why? I don't know what happened. You brought up Minster. They were kind of lackadaisical. Did someone say something to Cam Elwer during that game? Because he came out and then just had like this steely look in the middle of that game and hit hand in the face. I don't care. I'll drop a three. Another hand in the face. I'll go through my legs. I'll drop another three. How do you stop that guy? You don't. No. So that's why I'm going with DSJ.
Yeah, you know the thing about Delvis Jefferson is so St. John's is so impressive is they're winning the games that we know they should be winning, and they're winning, putting them away quick. Yeah. Now, the slow start against Minster, obviously that's a league game. That's a rivalry game. That's a good Minster team. They destroyed Upper Saddle Valley in the semifinals. They come out. They end up beating Minster by almost 20, but they just keep taking care of business. And Yeah, I agree. Look, Fort Jennings, great season. Musketeers, great tradition. And look, we could be wrong. They can hang with
this. You still got to play the game.
And the longer Fort Jennings can hang around this team, you got Jaron Swick in this game. Yeah. You got a scorer, a guy that can just put it on the deck and get to the rim. I give him a chance. I really do.
Let me ask you guys this question. Okay, everybody always talks about when you're playing DSJ, how do you stop Cam Elwer? Nobody ever does, right? Nope. So maybe take the tact. Let him get his points. If he gets 40, he gets 50. We're not going to let the snipers on the perimeter beat us. Nobody's going to help on Cam when he drives the bucket. We're going to hammer him. If he makes his free throws, we lose. But you take those other guys, those great parts that DSJ has, you take them out of the game, see if Cam can beat you by himself. But
I've not seen anybody do that all year. They go 10 deep. And they can all shoot. That's the incredible part about
it. I'm not saying there's right answers. I'm just saying maybe try.
Yeah.
It's an idea.
It's an idea. We can try it. But I've never seen a team with all 10 guys that can knock down the three. It's incredible.
It's crazy.
The Boggs kid, the quarterback from the football team, he can knock down threes. All the Elwers can knock down threes. I mean, it's the Krieger kid. It's unbelievable.
Are they the best team in Division 7?
Uh-oh.
Game number two. guys, I love Delvis St. John's. I love what they do. I love Cam Elwer. I do. They're not the best team in Division 7.
Rushi
is the best team in Division 7.
Listen, I'd love the same thing, but I think right now when you're talking about a team with 12 seniors and all the history that Rushi has and what the last 3 years have been for them, and it's going to be, if that's the matchup we end up with at some point, whether it be in the state final or somewhere else.
Whether I'm calling that game or not, I'm going.
That will be that will be one to watch.
You're like Danny Suttle, I want to call that
game. I know,
game.
Right? Do you think like, Nick
if
got
I'm
that,
not calling yeah, that Nick, game
if I'm
somewhere.
Not available, yeah, I'll comb my hair and everything, take a shower. Guys, game two at Bowling Green State University. I think we all agree that we love calling games from Bowling Green State.
My favorite place to do
on
it.
On the court, right. Yep. Patrick Henry, LCC, Dave Bowen, Evan Skilleter. Gentlemen, LCC 17-7. They've got Jordan Pretty. They got Jeff Williams. Guys, they're running against a buzzsaw in Patrick Henry, undefeated, 24-0. They've got the Krieger brothers. They've got the Heber young man. I mean, they've got three scorers that can light it up. It's going to be a tough matchup for LCC.
I've had a chance to see Patrick Henry a couple times this year. They are the real deal. Yeah. They got size. You brought up Mac Heber. He's not just a 6'6 post guy. He faces the basket. Yeah. He is a matchup nightmare.
He can put it on the floor.
I don't know who LCC matches up on him. Maybe Brady Parker. Brady is a good athletic guy.
Brady won't back down. I can promise you that.
No,
yeah.
But he's still giving up 3 inches there, right? Yeah. Matt can shoot over everybody. Now, if you're worried about Fairview maybe Patrick Henry being a little overconfident, they struggled against Fairview in the district, was losing at halftime, came back and won that one. But the matchups, Danny, that I think are going to be a lot of fun in this one, Elaine Jackson, who is a quick guard defensively against DJ Jazzy Jeff. That's going to be a fun matchup.
He better
matchup.
Be real quick.
Yep. And then Lincoln Krieger, don't forget about him. We talked about him in the fall. He was their quarterback. He's going to play at Northwestern in football, 6'3". Just one of those tough guys that does everything they need. Three scorers, Reed Krieger, 16 points. Mac Heber, 17. Lincoln Krieger, 16. They walk into the gym already with 49 points. Mm-hmm. That is tough. Yeah.
So this is why I want to ask you about this, because I know that you know that area of basketball a lot better than we do down here, okay? Because I've talked to some people, you know, getting ready for this game and looking to this matchup. Obviously, Patrick Henry, fantastic season. There are people who question that schedule.
Oh, without a doubt. The NWOAL this year is down, without a doubt. But still, you went 24-0. And they scheduled tough teams. They beat Liberty Benton. Liberty Benton was a very good program this year. And, Danny, they have won games in the 30s, and they have won games in the 70s. So that tells me that they can play any style that you want to play, and they're going to find a way to win.
And here's the other thing, too, Nate. If Patrick Henry didn't have the tradition they didn't have with the multiple state appearances with state championships.
No,
this is a program, regardless of what the NWAL does, Patrick Henry is always going to be the flagship.
Right, and I'm not trying to take anything away from. I'm just saying that is the question that a lot of people are asking about this team. They're undefeated, and you still have to win your games, and you still got to play the schedule in front of you. But looking when you compare the two schedules, LCC appears, at least, because people aren't as familiar with that Patrick Henry and the teams they play with around here, the LCC has played a significantly tougher schedule than Patrick Henry has. So people, there is some confidence that maybe LCC is a little bit ready. You talked about LCC be 17-7 coming into this game. They were 6-6 at one point this year.
Yeah.
They've lost one game since then. That was to Lima Senior, where they still put up 70 points. They are playing their best basketball right now. Now, they've been playing really good over the last couple weeks, especially since the Cup. They've been doing that without Azad Burton on the floor. At some point, they're going to start working him back in. I don't know if it'll be this week. I'm not sure what his injury status is. You know, that's 10 points. But Jeff Williams, the way that he has been playing, he's still a freshman. You're going to have to live with some freshman mistakes from time to time. But sometimes the best thing in these big spots is these guys don't know what they're not supposed to know.
That's true.
Right? And I think nothing encapsulated that better with Jeff Williams than maybe that last deal that sealed the game in that district title against Crestview. Because if you're an upperclassman, you may not take the chance to jump that pass. Right?
You may not, because
you don't want to risk missing it and leaving somebody wide open, right? You may sit back and say, we'll just play deep, we'll keep them in front of us. You know, we're not going to try to do anything like that and take that chance. I can get that steal, and so he does. And a lot of that just comes from him being so quick in his natural instincts. sometimes when you get a little bit more experience, you know, some of these guys, they're like, well, okay, you know, the smarter play maybe just to sit and watch. And it was a great play. He timed it perfectly. He goes back the other way. He seals the district title for him.
Yeah.
That can be a huge advantage.
Without a doubt.
And he's growing up. He's showing a lot of maturity. I've been really impressed with how he's played. That game against Crestview was a very slow-paced game. They slowed things down.
Yeah.
At one point,
Crestview threw – I think this one will be that way too.
At one point, Crestview threw a defense that you could tell LCC had not seen at all this season. I mean, confused them. They didn't know what to do. They didn't even know where to pass the ball.
Right.
They were confused. Coach Powell calls a timeout, and then it became a chess match. They said, okay, we're going to stay out here at the free throw line or at the mid-court line.
Come out and guard us.
And we'll just stand here. You're either going to come out of the defense that we don't really know what we should do right now or we haven't practiced against, or we have the lead. We'll just stand here.
I always love that when coaches do that. That's your ace against a zone when you have to lead. I love that.
And it worked, and they forced him out. And then Jeff was hitting big shots at the end of quarters. So I really like how LCC is playing right now. However, there is a significant size advantage with Patrick Henry coming up against this LCC.
Well, not only that,
I'm with you.
An athletic size advantage.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm with you. I don't know who they're going to put on him. Drew Pieser, since he got back, has been kind of playing that de facto five.
I like him.
He's not a five, but he's been drawing the big guys. Brady Parker, we know, can do that as well. But it'll be interesting to see how Coach Powell chooses to attack Patrick Henry and then vice versa. This is going to be a good game. If LCC shoots the ball the way that they shot it Tuesday night, I don't know who beats them. If they come out and it's a struggle and they get pulled into the mud with Patrick Henry and it's a slow tempo game, there might be some trouble.
The one other thing I want to point out, okay, LCC very young. This is a senior-laden Patrick Henry team. You've always got to like that, right?
Yep.
And then Lincoln Krieger, the kid that's going to play at Northwestern, Division I athlete, I think there's your answer on Jordan Pretty, right?
Sure.
Yeah, it's going to, you know, Jordan's going to have to work really, really hard to get those points. Now, I'm not sure Brian Heber, the coach of the year in NWOL, is going to go that route, but that's always nice to have that as a luxury.
Game 3, fellas, Tuesday night at Vandalia Butler. Have either of you two ever been to Vandalia Butler?
I have not.
It is one of my favorite gyms to go to. It is as impressive a high school gym as it probably holds 6,000 or more. It is an absolute
Could it hold a state semifinal?
Yes, it could. It is Miami Valley Christian Academy, Marion Local, myself, Danny Holbrook. Some have called a young Vin Scully on the call. With Darren Gilbert, some have called a young Chewbacca. We are on the call together.
Or a Yeti.
Or an Ewok. Yeah, one of those two. We're on the call, guys.
Even if they don't.
Miami Valley Christian Academy, 20-5. They're three scores again. Gavin French at 18.5. Casey Heap at 15.5. Colin Girding at 11.5. With that being said, Marion Local 23-2. I watched what they did going through the districts. They're playing their best basketball. They're going to beat Miami Valley Christian.
So you always get concerned when you see that word academy, don't you?
Because you
just know the talent's going to be there because it's called academy, right? So that makes you nervous. But then you kind of dig into this a little bit more.
I did.
Yeah. and it's really the classic battle between finesse and physicality, right?
Yeah.
And usually physicality wins that battle. So I just love the physicality of Marion Local. If this is a nice, pretty run up and down and nobody touches people game, I like the academy, but I don't think it's going to be that way. I think Marion Local wins this one.
The thing about this game is, fellas, and you can – nobody knows – what's the old saying? You don't know what to do in a fight until you get hit in the face, you know. Nobody plays defense Nobody plays defense like Marion Local. Braden Mesher and Grant Kramer and Kale Arns – it's the best high school defense I think I've seen in a long time. I mean, when I say they get up on you, it's straight up.
Yeah.
And you have to go around them. And their lateral movement is so quick, and they've been coached so well. They don't turn their hips. They move their feet. They don't move their hands. They move their feet. It's just so impressive.
Well, before the tournament started, I truly believe that whoever won the district title over in that district was going to be the representative down at UD.
Oh, yeah.
And I still believe that. It didn't matter if it was Spencerville, Marion Local, or Coldwater. Whoever walked away as winning the title,
such a tough district,
I felt would be the favorite to go the rest of the way. And I still feel that way. I don't think that Miami Valley Christian Academy is going to put up much of a challenge for them. When you look at their schedule and some of the opponents.
I looked at their schedule today.
It's just not up to par with what Marion Local has faced and what they've been able to do. And I think the size and the way that Marion Local runs the floor and their offense and what they do, I just don't see this being a game that Marion Local can't win.
Danny, I want to see if I read this right. Colin Geerding for Miami Valley Christian Academy, 8 assists per game. Did I read that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild, isn't it? Yeah. That was an impressive stat.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, he might get 4 assists and then he's going to get clobbered in this game.
I'm telling you guys right now, he's not getting 8 assists.
No, I'd be surprised. Won't. Yeah.
Those guards are just too good. Yeah. So, yeah. All right, guys, game number 4, Wednesday at Elida. The Lima Senior Spartans, Winton Woods. I believe it's Garrett Seawright and Dar Nevergall on the call for that one.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. Winton Woods, it sounds like an author from the 50s, doesn't it? I love his works.
Winton Woods is 22-2, fellas. They've won 10 in a row.
Yeah, the quality ball club. Coach, I thought, did a great job of explaining what they need to do against it, and it is kind of like maybe a de facto.
Well, we'll know what he does at the interview because it hasn't happened yet, right?
well, if you, I'm going to foreshadow. If you can read our show sheet,
if you can see the show sheet, it says right here.
Shut up, Nate. We splice this stuff
right
together.
Here, it says it right here.
It's the magic of TV. It's Disney. Way to ruin it, Nate.
All right, so when you look at the two teams, I mean, they match up extremely well. It's almost like they're that Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other, right? Both teams are going to get in their hip pocket, and they're going to play really great defense. Tremendous size on Winton Woods' side. So the question I have, though, how are they going to guard Jaquel Cotton in a half-court set? Because the game is going to break down to a half-court set at some point in time.
They're not.
Yeah, I don't think so, right? Because they're big. Jaquel is that guy that is the 6'7 guy that can go out to the perimeter. He can, last week, unbelievable, driving to the basket. So if Winton Woods does not have an answer for Jaquel Cotton, I think all things being equal, I think Lima Senior wins because of him.
Well, yeah, you're an LCC Lima Senior guy / Shawnee guy. You've... You've watched Lima Senior play, and I think they're on a mission. This team is focused.
I mean, I think that obviously when we talked about it with Coach, right? Like, expectations is one thing. Turning expectation into reality is something completely different.
Yeah.
And we've had two teams in our area who really have done that, right? Shawnee and Lima Senior. And I don't – this is – you started to say it, but I really do feel like, I mean, it's a shame that this game is a regional semifinal.
I know, right?
Like this, you're talking about at least the last, I don't know if it's been updated since the last I looked, but Lima Senior was number 3. Winton Woods was number 5 in the state in Division 2. This is a matchup of two teams. It shouldn't be playing this early, but it is just, it's the bracket. It is what it is.
It could very easily be a state final game.
100%. And this really could be a de facto state championship game qualifier type matchup here, because if they get through, whoever gets through this one, you would have to think would be favored the rest of the way. Now, my concern is what you talked about, the size of Winton Woods.
Yeah.
We saw Lima Senior struggle with that against Shawnee. Right, that's the last.
Even our game against Dunbar, they struggled rebounding the basketball against
and
Dunbar,
and that's the one.
And they got 26 points.
That's the one thing with LC or with Lima Senior, excuse me, they give up a lot of size, right? They just do. Those guards are really good. We know how good Willie Foster and Sean Foster are, how good Boog Wilson is, Amari Addy out there as well. But Jaquel Cotton is really their one big, right? And he doesn't always play under the basket with the way that offense works, even on defense. So they've got to win that rebounding game. They've got to find a way to get themselves some extra possessions or extra opportunities against this Winton Woods team. That will be the challenge. If they can do that and they can limit the rebounding advantage that Winton Woods may think they have coming into this one, this will be their game to lose.
Watch this weekend. In this game, you guys. Watch what happens with Lima Senior. I can promise you all of their defensive pressure will be on the perimeter, because you're right. They don't have the size. So what can we do? Yeah. We can take that away by ball pressure, and those guards can just get after it. I mean, when Willie Foster and Sean Foster put their mind to it, they can defend.
One of the other things that hasn't been talked about as much, Lima Senior usually when they get to this stage – they're going to Akron and UT.
Yeah.
They are traveling. They're getting on a bus. They are taking long bus rides. They get to go just across town.
It's pretty nice.
And Elida Fieldhouse is going to be
jam-packed.
It is going to be
on
jam-packed.
On senior side, yeah.
I think they'll even get a hold of some of them Winton Woods tickets at some point. It is going to be a great environment for them. Now, is that a good or a bad thing, right? Sometimes coaches don't mind taking some trips if it gets their team focused, right? Yeah. Sometimes you don't. We talked about shutting out the noise, but I got to imagine.
The energy is going to be big, I think.
I got to imagine, though, being able to take a 15-minute bus ride compared to Wynton Woods' 2.5-hour bus ride is going to be a big advantage for us.
Any coach that tells you he likes bus rides is a liar.
Hated him.
Don't forget Deshaun Greer, though.
He's a good player,
He's a tough guy. If he has some good moments rebounding basketball, I think they'll be fine on Wednesday. Yep.
Game 5, guys, Wednesday night at the University of Toledo. Speaking of who gets to take that bus ride, the Shawnee Indians are going to take that bus ride. They're playing Toledo Central Catholic. Shawnee comes in at 23-2, Toledo Central Catholic 12-9. Randy Roberts on the call, and some have compared him to a young Michael Bublé. Miles Holiday will be on the call.
I can't stand Michael Bublé.
That's why I compared him to you.
Do not compare me to him.
Now, I will say this, speaking of comparing, Toledo Central Catholic playing Shawnee. They did play Lima Senior earlier this year and got beat pretty good. So, I know we can't do that. You know, it's not 8 degrees.
Why not?
Kevin
we
May.
Always do.
I know, we always do, right? Well, they played this team and this team and this team, but could be a good matchup. I really like Shawnee in this game.
I'm just excited. Folks, I live 5 minutes from Savage Arena. So, if I was in good shape, I'd walk there. But I'm not. I'm going to drive.
It's a savage move,
I'm excited to finally get a call game there. I've always wanted to, so I'm excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Nate and I got to see Shawnee last week. Absolutely fantastic. I thought against Defiance, they were tested. And I thought it was a good test, right?
Yeah.
The physicality that Defiance put on them was absolutely outstanding. Trevick Berkey, I thought, stepped forward. He was absolutely unbelievable. But this Toledo Central Catholic team, watch out, man. They play in that Detroit Catholic League up there.
I saw their schedule.
Ooh.
It's pretty good.
Do not be dissuaded by that 3-10 record, or 13-10 record. Right. They have four guys that can fill it up, Danny. This is a really good quality ball
game. Yeah, and it'll be a test for Shawnee for sure. I agree with you. I thought they looked good against Defiance. I thought that was a good matchup in the sense that the first time that Shawnee and Defiance, Shawnee just looked not themselves. They were behind. Yeah. Probably should have lost that game. Found a way to get back into it. They went in overtime. Never really looked truly in trouble against Defiance in that championship game.
But it would get to like four.
But it was just a little out of sorts for them.
You never thought they were going to lose it.
But they still found a way. Yep. And I think that you look, when you're in the tournament, you're just trying to find a way sometimes. Yeah. You don't care if you win by – I'm sure coaches would like the comfortability of a 40-point win. But ultimately, at the end of the day, a win's a win,
you
and
move
we
on.
Get to continue to move on. You know, Toledo Central Catholic, I think, will be a good challenge for them. It's a good program with a lot of history. And,
absolutely.
You know, yes, you can look at that Lima Senior game, and if you're Shawnee, you said, okay, at least we have something to compare. You know, maybe it takes that shine off it a little bit. And it helps you kind of just, you know, grind down on this and in practice. And, okay, we don't have to, like, think that this is some team that we can't touch because of the schedule and all these other team big-time players that they have and all this other stuff. We've played similar opponents. We beat somebody that, you know, beat them. You know, let's just do what we do and we'll be okay.
Yeah, so you always are concerned when you face a team that recruits, right? You're always worried about it. And flat out, I mean – folks, Toledo Central Catholic.
I didn't say anything.
They recruit. Okay, it's well known they recruit. Now they have really good talent.
One shot.
This is Miles' last show. Thank you so much, Miles, for the last 23 weeks.
It's true. They do. Russell with 19 points. Wardrop, watch out for him. 13 points. 44% from behind the arc. So you got to keep an eye on him. Kennard at 11. Johnson at 13. They have four guys that can fill it up. Okay. However, when you look at the difference, here's the difference of the game. You ready for it? They hold their opponents to 29% behind the arc.
Ooh.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah.
What does Shawnee love to do?
Yeah. Shoot behind the arc.
36. Whoever wins that battle, they're going to win that game.
You know, the defense from Shawnee, though, is so underrated. I mean, this is a team that holds opponents to, you know, 35 points pretty regularly. Yep. So they can play with anybody. They can match up with anybody. You know, I've seen them when they're not hitting from behind the arc. They just find a way to get it going on the inside, too. Anytime that you can take your best three-point threat in Jagger Hutchins and Trevick Berkey and Beckett Berkey, and you can just move them inside, that's a heck of an asset to have.
Seven of the last 13 games, Shawnee's held their opponents under 30 points.
Yeah, it's incredible.
In other news, Miles will not be attending Toledo Central Catholic's Athletic Boosters Pancake Night. Thanks a lot, Miles. We appreciate it.
It's the truth!
Thursday night, guys, up at Bowling Green State University, Patrick Kamler, Josiah Stover on the call for Elida, and Hawken. I've never heard of them. I know, look, they're
18 and 7, what, Danny. Yeah, 9-1 in their league.
They've won six in a row because we do prep work. But I saw that and I'm like, I pride myself on knowing a lot of schools in the state. Never heard of that school.
I got one for you. I didn't hear of them, and I never heard of Notre Dame Cathedral Latin either. I've never heard of them.
See.
So I actually had heard of them, but only because Andre Griffin, LCC's former football coach, he's now the head coach up at NDCL. Really? Okay. So, yeah, right. But until then, I hadn't heard of them either.
Well, look, regardless of whether we heard them or not, this is special for Elida. Man, this is big time. I think they got a real shot to play in the regional finals.
I'd be shocked if they're not.
We talk about guard play all the time. Yeah. They got two of the best. I'm telling you, if Parker Krim can do what he did against Bath, 9 of 10 from the free throw line, if they can get some big shots from outside, from guys off the bench, I like this Elida team with a chance. Can you? If I'd have told you 12 weeks ago, guys, Elida may
Coach
play.
Howard, great job.
Yeah, may play for a berth in the state title. Can you imagine that?
They were sitting at 1-4, and everybody's like, oh,
right.
No, absolutely not.
What's this new guy doing?
Coach Howard. Yeah, kudos
absolutely.
To you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so now you say the two guards at Elida. It's time you say the three guards.
Yes.
Marcus Hill, he's so good.
He's
so fantastic, right?
I always forget about Marcus Hill because he's unassuming. He just goes out there and he gets you 12, 14 a game. He gets you huge putbacks and steals.
So explosive, isn't he? And Parker Krim, you guys said 9 of 10 at the free throw line. Even had a left-handed finish underneath the glass. What a great rebounder. And congratulations, picked up his 12th Division I offer this week.
Yeah, so the only concern that I have, you know, you talk about a Hawken team that is the ninth seed, and you look at that and you're like, oh, this should be a pretty big mismatch. Elida should be the favorite. But when you look at the top 25, Hawken is actually ranked ahead of them.
Okay,
well, what am I missing here? What is it about this team? What is it about this team? And I honestly don't know. When you look at it, it doesn't look like there's nothing that jumps off the page. When you look at their stats, you look at their players.
Look at that league.
There's nothing that jumps off the
stage. Danny's not impressed.
Look at the league.
There's just nothing that really jumps off the page. Like, oh, this is why. But they've apparently impressed enough people. That's where they got ranked. It is what it is. Rankings really don't mean anything anymore. Yeah. But it does give you that pause. Like, well, Elida hopefully isn't already trying to buy their tickets to that regional final. You don't want to overlook this team.
No.
They're there for a reason. And Elida is a dangerous team. They're playing with house money, guys. Yeah. Nobody, like you just said, nobody expected them to be here. Now that you're here,
Just win it.
We might as well keep on winning. Yeah. They're playing with house money, and when a team is playing with house money, they're very dangerous.
How about the guy that likes to gamble with the house money?
I'd have former NBA player Dakota Mathias walk into that gym and give them the best pep talk ever, man. I would. I'd trot out any show pony I could to get me to the next level. Hey, who knows? You know, show me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's going to be a great game for sure.
It is. All right, guys. What was your atmosphere at your district final games? At mine, I was down at Wapakoneta, Coldwater, New Bremen, Coldwater, Marion Local. Absolutely electric.
Packed,
place
it?
Was packed. Yeah. It was everything you want in a district final. Two teams that have played each other before, close game, hot. you can see that haze in the air, you know. I was sitting beside Gilly.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. He was sweating on me, throwing things at me. He was, spit was coming out of his mouth.
Did you hose him down afterwards?
I did. It took his food bowl away. But, yeah, it was a great atmosphere,
Yeah, I mean, same. I had LCC Crestview, that district final. It was a great atmosphere. I mean, those are longtime rivals in the NWC, even back to LCC's first tenure in the league. A lot on the line. LCC and them, when they played earlier, it was a three-point game. Crestview, you knew, wanted that revenge. It was a great environment. It was a back and forth, a lot of intensity. Gym was filled. I mean, that's what you look for, right? Like, you want the filled gyms. We talked about the sellouts throughout the year. You don't want that dying off now, right? Like, that needs to continue. It was great. And then at Liberty Benton on Saturday, you know, I don't know. It seemed weird to me.
It was a weird atmosphere.
For Shawnee Defiance.
For Shawnee Defiance.
Yeah.
It was almost like the Defiance people were there because, well, they're obligated.
Yeah, it was just
there are kids.
Seriously, there wasn't a whole lot of excitement behind.
So you're not going to their pancake day either.
I'm just being honest with the atmosphere.
And you could just kind of tell. Like I thought the exact same thing. Yeah. And where
Shawnee showed up, right?
Shawnee was there.
Yeah.
Looked at the Defiance side, was filled. Like, it wasn't like it was empty either. Yeah. It was just weird. Now, at times they were getting into it, but it was just you know, sometimes it's a gym too. Liberty Bend's a beautiful gym, great facility. They treated everybody great. The setup was awesome. But it also, when you hear people and coaches and players and you know, spectators talk about the sound, right? The sound in Elida is just different.
Oh, that's a great point.
Than the sound in some other gyms.
It is, yeah.
And you know, I don't know that I've ever really noticed it as much as maybe from going from Elida on Friday night to Liberty Benton on Saturday.
Mm. Let me ask you this question, okay? Because I understand people get emotional. That's the fun of it, right? You get fired up, right? But I don't know anything about physics. But if I went to a physics convention and I was all fired up, I would not yell at people doing physics, electron, neutron, right? Because I don't know anything
about
it.
It's a positive experience.
I don't know anything about it, right? So why is it that people, when they go to a basketball game and they don't know anything really that's going on, will scream at officials at the top of their lungs and they don't have any clue of what they're screaming at? Why is that?
It's a great question. I know if you can ever solve that, you'll make a lot of money there, Miles. It happens everywhere you go.
And then they'll, like, have to, did you see that? They'll come up and ask Randy and I, like we're going to overrule the official and we'll go back in time.
What I love is when a bad call happens and it gets so loud. Like when you're on that side of the floor, so like a couple of things, calls had happened. The Defiance fans are upset. Yep. We're sitting right by them. You can pick it up. You know that it's coming out over the air. So we're like, oh, as you can hear, the Defiance fans not happy with that call, and then immediately be like, but I don't really understand why, because it was pretty clear that that's what the call should have been.
My favorite part of doing a broadcast is when you've got the monitor in front of you and there's a tough call, and like seven dads will come up to the monitor.
They want to see the replay.
They want to see the replay. And we're like, yeah, go ahead, take a look. Yeah.
It's not that you do. What are you gonna go down there and show them? Like, they're not changing it.
I got one for you. Okay, you're at a basketball arena and you have the biggest screen in the history of all screens, the actual game, right?
Yeah.
We had six little kids come sit behind us last Saturday because they wanted to watch our 13-inch monitor and watch the game on that. And they kept kicking Randy in the back.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. That's good stuff, guys. There was a district final this week.
Yeah.
At Lima Senior between Delvis St. John's and Minster.
Mm-hmm.
And it was played at the crack of dawn. Of course, I jest, but 11 o'clock.
So?
I didn't want. I knew you were going to take that stance.
Huh? In two weeks, there's going to be a game in the morning.
I know.
Yeah, just for all the marbles.
Listen, if you want to play for a state title, you better be able to figure out how to play in the morning. What's the problem?
I've always had trouble with that. What's the problem?
Because you go on a schedule all year long, and you're playing at 7 o'clock every Friday and Saturday night. It never changes.
Well, let me ask you this. So then what's the difference? Okay, 7-7, but now you're going to play at 2. Who cares?
Why do we have to move it?
Why move it?
It's probably easier for the facilities.
It's not about the facilities. Oh, well, it's about the kids. That's the motto. Right.
It's about the money.
Yeah, it's about
why are you saying that in a mocking tone? You don't think things should be for kids?
I am saying it. It's what the OHSA says. It's about the kids.
Who cares? They got to play for a state title in the morning. What do you care?
But
who
why
cares?
Do they have to? But why can't it just be a nice 7 o'clock start like everybody likes?
I know why the difference is. Because when I play for that state title, I have a week to prepare to play at 10:45 or 11 o'clock. When I played that district final game, I had 3 days to get ready for that.
You got a good point. You're right, and I'm sorry.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Whoa.
Nick, I want you to catch this. Clip it.
The big thing that I didn't keep in mind was that Minster had to play the game at 7 o'clock at night, but Delphus St. John's was at a disadvantage because they had to play at 11 in the morning. They both played at the same time, Danny. Who cares?
He's mean sometimes, Miles. When he's hangry, can we get him a Snickers? I really think we need to. They both had to play. Oh, we didn't have food tonight. We didn't have food tonight. That's what it is.
They both traveled. They both played at the same time. It's the same.
Thanks, Megan, for ruining the show.
It's sports. It's life. You have to make adjustments.
Goodness. I think it stinks on ice.
Well, get off our front, right?
That's your military background.
And again, you have to, in 2 weeks, if you're planning on playing for a state title, you're going to have a morning game. You're going to have a noon to so this week.
Let's play at 3
there's a noon game.
Don't play at
3 yeah,
a.m.
Let's just play at 9, Nate. Why not play at 7:30?
Why not?
Because we'll have a midnight state title game.
Midnight
That'd be great.
At the
Oasis.
You
don't think those kids are up at midnight anyway? You think they care? You think they care? You want to play at 3 a.m.? You think they would care?
Let's get them all hopped up on Mountain Dew.
Two wise men and grumpy Gary over here. Yeah.
The only one making sense.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, the OG ladies lose a perfect season down the drain.
That was tough.
Columbus Grove goes on to the state semifinals. First time in Columbus Grove girls' history. Yeah, it's good for them.
Awesome.
But I was sad for the Titans.
We spent a lot lot of time talking about OG, and this might be the best OG girl team that has come through the program. And for the tournament run end-to-end at Afrocentric, where they have so much history about that team and that game. There's just this hurdle that they just can't. And, yeah, they did not shoot well. It wasn't their typical game. And it's unfortunate that it came to an end when it did. But, I mean, Columbus Grove, Otterville still in it as well. Yeah. I mean, we still got local teams alive and well, and it's still fun to watch. Now, what's not fun to watch is them in high school gyms for a state semifinal.
Oh, you're just trying to get me angry, aren't you? You're just trying to make me mad.
There's one girl state semifinal game in college.
Wait.
Every other game is in a high school.
He is the guy that said it doesn't matter.
Yeah. No. I said the time it doesn't matter.
But now it matters where you play.
It doesn't. As far as it doesn't matter. Stop. Just shut your mouth for a minute.
I'm going to eat my peas and carrots and sit over to my
It doesn't matter where you play as far as because it's advantage, disadvantage, or any of that. It matters because it's what I've been talking about with you guys. We've talked it on the air. We've had these conversations. You're making it less than. Playing a state semifinal in a high school gym, no matter how good the facilities are, and this is nothing against anybody's gym or the people running it or doing what they need to do because the OHSA says this is what we're doing.
Should be a marquee location.
It is less than, and it is an unfortunate thing that they are putting these girls who were made the Final Four in the state of Ohio in a high school gym and making it seem like it's not as important as it has been in years past. It's a shame. I mean, it's a travesty that that's what these girls have to do. And there's a chance that we're going to see boys in a week doing the same thing. Yeah. It is absolutely atrocious that this is what the OHSA has done.
So we agree on this one.
Yeah, that's why I told you to be quiet. Oh, that's why you gave me because you had to let me finish talking, right. Danny.
I've never done that. You've never got to the end of a conversation with me.
You're not kidding.
This is cool. So this is kind of neat.
Playing at a high school gym at 7 is not acceptable, but playing at 11 a.m. in an arena would be acceptable.
Smoke on that one there, Nate.
We're also talking about two different things because, again, I've told you, as far as the time and location for the game itself, like because it's going to be advantage, disadvantage, it doesn't matter.
But
I'm telling you, the state is supposed to be a big deal, guys.
It is supposed to.
If you are not, if any school ever tries to make a team or kids try to make it seem like making a Final Four or a state run, everybody should be going off. These kids should be going. You should be staying in hotels. You should be taking out to dinner.
Yes.
You should be going. You should be going places.
Once in a lifetime remembrance thing.
Exactly. Because it's not like every other
game.
Could
you imagine?
And it's not supposed to be.
If Cleveland St. Ignatius up here played Cincinnati Moeller down here, and they said, "We're going to meet in the middle."
Up here and down here. Like yeah.
We're going to meet in the middle, fellas, for your state semifinal game to go to the finals. We're going to play at Bath High School. No disrespect to Bath High School. Beautiful facility. It's nice. Could you imagine what the St. Ignatius folks and the Moeller folks, they would go through the roof. Wouldn't happen.
Well, and that's what I mean.
The OHSA wants you to follow every guideline and every standard and everything. So what do? Again, we're not going to talk about the seven divisions move. That's for another show. But we have taken this whole thing. I can promise you this. I know. I'm choppy. We're going to see.
Last couple weeks, I have been just as passionate about it. I think this is a joke.
Yep. We are going to see the lowest attended state championship games in the history of Ohio high school basketball,
and
they're going to lie to you. I'm just telling you, there's no way attendance can be anything like it was.
If you're talking about state championships,
I'm talking about the last game of the season.
I think it'll be close. I really do. I don't think it'll be that much difference.
So many guys
just go for the whole weekend.
Ever since they moved to UD, that hasn't been the case.
No,
is not a destination.
Look, Nate.
Shade to UD, but where are you going to stay? What are you going to do?
Look, so here's what they do. They take sections of UD, all right? And this is Northwest Ohio, this is Southeast Ohio, this is Southwest Ohio. So what they do is they send those ticket packages out to the schools in those respective divisions. They move them around from year to year. So this year, maybe Northwest Ohio, you're in midsection, you're down low. Southeast, you're up here. Still all good seats, but everybody gets a chance to have the good ones. Those tickets aren't being sold. Those tickets aren't going. You're talking about guys that would go. I would go down every year, and I've been doing it for 35 years. I've been going down for 12 games every year.
Yeah.
12. I've been watching teams, and it was so fun to watch semifinal games those two teams.
Absolutely.
It's not going to happen anymore. So what happens? Everybody comes back for the finals. The guy.
Because you're already down there.
Yeah, they're already down there. We're not even getting a hotel room this year. We're just driving each day because Friday starts at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
It's, I'm telling you, the attendance, you're going to look at UD Arena and be like, why are we having the game here? It makes no sense.
And then they'll move it to a high school gym.
Right. He's, yeah.
You know, Danny, before he used to go there, would listen to it on his transistor radio.
Yeah.
Well, peach baskets.
Marconi. Marconi. I'm telling you, me and Marconi, we'd say, Crystal, won't you listen?
Well, this was a fun tangent.
Yeah, now
we're going to need a defibrillator on hand here for you
guys. All right. Would you, who put this question out there?
With you. I can't believe that you're not more upset about it.
Oh, he is. He just let me do all the talking.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, I just like watching you two get all red.
How many times have I spit in the last couple of years? I'm just spitting. Miles, did you put this? Would you be in favor of the district tournament being a double elimination?
We're already angry enough.
Games?
We're not actually going to entertain this as a real
thing. We're not.
Right?
This isn't real.
Oh, like, you don't actually.
Oh, yeah.
No, you lose, you're done. That's the whole beauty of it.
What are you talking about? Look, a double elimination.
I'm telling you this right now, okay? What? In the great state of Tennessee for the 10 years I was there, yes. Once you made it out of district, you had double elimination in the regional.
This is a state that's where they haven't cured scurvy, and they think the Civil War is best 2 out of 3.
But
Miles, come on.
But I'm
any
not,
state
I'm
that's
not,
longer than
I'm
it
not,
is.
I'm
wide.
Not saying that's the right thing. I'm just saying I think the reason they did it was financial, because you got more games, you got more people buying tickets, you have more opportunities that people watch. Would you be in favor of saying
absolutely
double? No,
not.
Okay.
So you're saying that in Tennessee you can still lose a tournament game in advance?
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that seem right to you?
When I first moved there, no. But I got the rationale.
You dumbed up.
The thought process.
You bought in.
So the thought process is, okay, let's go back to seniors game, right? Okay. We said that might be the de facto state championship game,
right.
So now if you lose that one, you know, you still have a shot, right? That
so
you
is,
get
it, is it a best of three?
No. You go down to another bracket because there's other regionals too.
So...
No,
we're not doing
sense.
No.
All right. Okay.
No.
All right.
We're done.
So no double elimination.
No.
Okay. Sounds good.
What other major sporting event, college, pro, or high school does that?
College World Series.
That's baseball. But baseball is not a single game elimination tournament. Any tournament in baseball.
Okay. All right.
It's been that way for 700 years. All right.
Man, you guys are fired up.
Yeah.
Man.
You picked the wrong thing to come at us, brother.
That was the wrong time for that question.
All right, guys. Which player got knocked out last week that you're sad about? You're never going to see that player play again. I'm going to start this one because I've got several. I've got three. Ren Sheets from Crestview, the two-time.
I knew you shouldn't have gone first.
two-time NWCC or NWC Player of the Year. Fantastic player. I thought he represented Crestview really good. My second one is Maddox Underwood. You're a great player over at Upper Side of Valley.
He has some amazing shots.
He did. And then my man crush, Brogan Steffi. We're never going to see him play again. And I thought, you know, that kid has been through so much, you know, over at Minster with injuries and stuff. And those are the three guys that just come to mind for me.
Yeah, I had Ren Sheets as well. Yeah. What a tough dude, right? Mm-hmm, just one of those guys that you could hammer. Didn't matter. He's going to find a way to get points with offensive rebounds. Even when, for some reason, they wouldn't feed him the ball in the post or let him face up, he would still want
to. You used to get mad about that over the last couple of years.
I just never understood.
You used
it.
To ask Dave Bowen about it. Dave's I'm not coaching.
Dave, what are you doing, man? Dre Singleton over at Defiance.
Oh, yeah.
He was so good in that first half against Shawnee. I just loved his explosiveness. He was a really player that I enjoyed watching. So those two guys are definitely ones I'm going to miss.
It's a clean sweep. I have Ren Sheets as well. I just think what he can do on the basketball court, and he's just fun to watch. I mean, and you know, with the and when you start adding the history of the Crestview basketball and everything that goes around it, he seemed like Crestview basketball, and it was fun to watch him play. And he was a mismatch for a lot of teams, and it was fun to watch other teams try to find a way to slow him down. And I always like watching that when you have kind of a superstar player, and other teams have to figure out how to find a way to neutralize them. It's always fun to watch those matchups, and he always kind of did that for every single team. So him, and then. Jackson Foster out of Bath.
Oh, right. Saw he's going to go play at Bluffton. Announced it this week. Congratulations.
And mainly because I just think it would be fun to watch him in Dre White's offense for 2 or 3 more years.
That's a good point.
Right? Like, I really think it would – like, if you gave him a few more years with Coach White to see – what kind of different player he would have been, how much more of, you know, of a standout guy player he could have been. Yeah. I think that would have been a lot of fun to watch.
They'd have rivaled Shawnee for top of the WBL next year if he were coming back, right?
I mean, they'd be there. Yeah.
Those are great guys. All right, who is your Staley superstar and your Staley sensational team of the week? Hey, Staley Insurance.
Go get your Staley.
I'm telling you, they got you covered at Staley Insurance. Love me some Staley Insurance.
Could you see Danny on the next commercial? They got you covered.
Yeah, I want to start doing some commercials in Lima Land. So if you want commercials done, I'm your guy. Yeah. I'll drink the least famous recipe gravy. I had no issues. Put it over some ice. I'm chugging it. Oh, yeah.
Put it over ice.
Huh? This is good straight.
Just drink it.
You drink your drinks the way you like them. I like mine on the rocks, okay?
Who wants gravy on the rocks?
I'm sophisticated. Huh? I'm sophisticated.
I don't know. I don't even know why I'm on this show.
Sophisticated?
Yeah. Sophisticated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Where's our food? All right, guys, I'm going to go first. I'm giving...
Hey, whatever. You get the camera. You get the seat. You can do whatever you want. We're just here to hang out.
Lineland, look, Arsenio Hall. I'm moving my fingers. Okay, guys.
I'm going to have him a glass of Lee's gravy on ice next week. Oh. We'll have it sitting right there. Oh. And we'll put him to the test.
Hey, you know what?
He says he's going to drink it.
Drink
that
it. Lee's gravy's good enough. It might be pretty good.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, maybe
mashed
some
potato chaser.
Maybe some chunks of that chicken skin in there. All right, guys. My Staley superstar and sensational team of the week, Columbus Grove Girls. First time in the history of the girls program.
Yeah,
going
good.
To the state semifinals. Lauren Ockmoody, Coach Brian Schrader.
How about that shot?
Oh my gosh. Did you see
shot
it?
Right before half.
She just double clutched and boom, knocks it in. Mm-hmm. That was a good team they beat too. So I want them to win. I do. I want them to win.
Their only loss was to OG, so that was a great win. Man. Right. Fantastic. I got to go with Trevick Berkey. I just thought he was absolutely fantastic in that district final. Came out, opened the game with a big three, and then Hutchins followed it up there.
He's a tone setter, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. He's a tough dude. People forget how tough he is, and he's got that mental toughness along with it. He was great defensively. When they put him on Dre Singleton, that really ended the ball game. So I thought he was fantastic, and then I got to go with Shawnee as the Staley sensational team of the week. They were absolutely fantastic. I really am excited about calling them again on Wednesday.
Yeah, for me, my Staley superstar is Jaren Swick. I talked about him. Best thing fantastic. I saw. Anytime that you set a record and you become the all-time leading scorer in any program, that's a big deal. I mean, that's consistent excellence, and you know, obviously him being able to get that and then helping his team, you know, move through and become a district champion.
Where would that rank, you guys? You're talking about
if they upset
Delphi St. John, would that be
the biggest upset I've ever seen?
It'd be pretty much up there. It'd be up there.
Name a bigger one.
Yeah, it'd be up
Hickory
there.
High.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
And then my Staley sensational team of the week is LCC. I mean, I'm just kind of copying the best things I saw of the week.
Even though you picked against them last week.
Well, that's why they got to be my best team of the week, right? Like, I mean, this was a team that I think maybe a lot of people thought could get tripped up in that district. It was one of the toughest districts around.
Brutal. We said last week, top four teams in all the districts.
They really had zero problem with Bluffton. They came out, they shot the ball incredibly.
They just
kind of ran away with that one. And then in a tough, slow-paced game, complete opposite of Bluffton, they found a way. They stayed alive. The freshman, Jeff Williams, makes an amazing play at the end of the game, not to mention free throws that were made. I mean, this is an LCC team that's playing really good right now. You know, we got to watch out for them here against Patrick Henry.
So the question is, T-Bird, Nate Garlock, graduate of LCC, what would it take? What would the T-Birds have to do to get you to get in the T-Bird outfit one
They'd
more time?
They'd have to expand it by about three sizes. You see that thing? I ain't fitting
if
in
I'm
that.
Drinking gravy.
I'm not fitting in that thing. What are you talking
if
about?
If I'm drinking gravy, you're getting
in the T-Bird. You see how small that thing is? There's no chance I get that thing
on. How about at least the grimaced head that they put on with that mean look? Would you wear that?
I'd have to smell it
Can we
first.
Get like a duck costume to put you in instead of a T-Bird close?
What?
Yeah. You never know.
A duck costume.
Yeah, if you can't fit in the T-Bird outfit, maybe a duck costume
or
a cardinal outfit.
Waddle.
Yeah. We can go over to Owen Union and get the polar bear outfit, and you can walk around.
Kelsey Beimer has been in the polar bear outfit.
Did she hold up a coat?
I don't know.
Yeah. Polar bears? Coat.
Would you do it?
Yeah, no, I got it.
Well, you had that look.
Would I put the head on?
Yeah, would you wear?
Why wouldn't I put the head on? Okay. I'm an alumni.
Let's see if we can.
That's a melon. That's a melon, man.
I'm not 100% sure I can fit it into
I'm
it,
not real sure.
Somebody at LCC hook us up with that.
You got to expand. I'm not sure my car wouldn't run out of gas going around his head. That's a big melon. That's wow. big.
Hey, listen.
Wow.
I'll be right back.
I'll be right back.
Hey, we got to go to dinner later. Yeah. All right, guys. Buckeye Corner. I'm just so upset with this team right now.
Why? They're going to make the tournament.
No, they're not, Nate.
What you talking about?
What you talking about? They're going to get, look.
So Joe Lenardi has never been right about anything
Joe
ever.
Lenardi, who's he work for? ESPN?
Every,
bracketology?
Well, every year.
Wait a minute. He has him as the first four out.
He does now.
Yeah.
No, he has him first four in. I just saw it.
You circled it and it said first four out.
No, it said first.
First that, four in.
It was initially he was, they were last four in.
Yeah.
Then he moved
well, good,
him
yes.
Then he moved him into first four with or last four with bye
because they got so much better.
They did drop and now they're back.
Are you
into
telling
last
me
four in.
If they lose tomorrow night
no,
at home?
Yeah, all right. No, they're still in. They're still in the NIT.
But currently, right yeah. now, they're in the tournament.
I wouldn't be upset if
and
we played
the
NIT.
They
really
should
wouldn't.
Win these next two games. They shouldn't lose them. Now, every time
they're
they should.
Not they're not going to Indiana. They're not going to Assembly Hall.
It's Assembly Hall Senior Night.
I'll get in the entire costume if they lose that game.
They're
it
not
is.
Beating
there
Indiana
is.
On Senior Day in Assembly
what
Hall.
What are you putting on it?
I'll drink that gravy.
You already said you would anyhow.
Yeah, you were excited about that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just eat a box of chicken.
Listen, I think they go 2-0. I think they make the. I think they'll probably win one or two games in the tournament, in the Big Ten tournament. They're going to have four wins before the end of the season. That's going to put them right around 20 wins for the year. They'll be good. They'll be in.
Do they got a new guy moving in town that's going to be rebounding the basketball for them?
We should take blood tests before we do this
Is
show.
Is Zed King coming
you.
Back from Dayton? Yeah.
Listen. Somebody around here has to make sense. It can't just be you two grumbling all the time
Nate,
about everything you
Nate,
hate.
Nate, what? Hey. Don't move your
Listen,
head.
Frank
don't,
and
don't,
Frank,
don't move like, your head. Move your eyes.
Listen, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. You, listen,
let's say the alphabet backwards.
6 months ago,
you guys loved Diebler. Great coach, great program. This
I
is going to be fantastic.
Them. We do. I still love
them. You guys forget that they've knocked off Kentucky. They've already beaten Purdue. They have big wins. They've been able to win big games. They're just not consistent.
Listen to
but they
Miles
can win
and
a big
I.
Game.
We told you for 12 weeks our football team was going to win a national title. We told you Will Howard was going to take us to the promised land. Will Howard is now on the basketball staff.
Nick, if there's any way that we can legally put the combine footage of Will Howard right here, right now.
Oh, that, but those
oh, the throwing of the ducks?
No.
You mean when he missed every throw and probably had the worst combine
no.
in the history of quarterback?
Those footballs were greased. Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but it was a
what
greased
were you
football
doing
day.
In Indianapolis over the weekend,
yeah.
Greasing footballs.
Yeah. Greasing footballs. Yeah. So we just answered every question on here. Where do they go this offseason? NIT, NCAA. I'm saying NIT.
NCAA.
I've said this. Jake Diebler will recruit. He always has been a good recruiter.
Okay, yeah, but will he recruit the right guys? We need someone to rebound a basketball. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I mean, we'll see what happens. I mean, listen, I do think, unfortunately, that the hook on Jake Diebler is going to be a lot shorter than what we saw in previous coaches.
Right. I think you're right.
I think
Russ,
I don't,
Russ Bjork. Cheap. Russ Bjork.
I do not think that they will give him the type of leash that they gave Holtman, and even towards the end, what you know, Thad Matta
got. He got 7 years. That's criminal.
But I think that you know this is one of the things. I think they got to a point where they were just like, we're not really sure how we don't give the job to Diebler because some of the games he was winning.
Yeah, he did win some
And
games.
So he got it. He'll get one or two recruiting cycles. If they don't see progress, they will pull
the
plug quickly.
It was the perfect storm for Jake Diebler to get the job. Russ Bjork had been on the job for five minutes. Gene Smith was leaving. Russ Bjork was going to go, you know what? I'm not going to do a national search when we got a guy here. I'll give him his year and a half, like you're saying.
Well, he was a popular pick.
Yeah. And I still think Jake Diebler can get it turned around. I really do.
The problem is he's got to do it quickly or he'll be out.
Yeah, he'll get two more years, don't you think?
I think he gets two recruiting cycles.
Okay.
Yeah. And if they don't see progress, I think they'll pull.
Now, I do want them to make the tournament because that'd be fun, right? To watch our team in the tournament
again. Yeah, and lose in the first round? Yeah,
it doesn't matter. As long
we'll
as take
it. It'll be an easy. I mean,
here's the thing.
My financial interest will not be.
We'll be underdogs, so if we win, we'll all be, we pulled
I mean, would you rather watch them play once in the NCAA or play three, four times in NIT?
Once in the NCAA.
Yeah, so of course
the NIT is boring.
Last year I kind of liked it because we won three games.
But it's still, you start losing. Like, when you're in tournament time, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You're, I mean, you are
I get it.
Planning your day, you know, Making sure that all of your financial interests
are when they play next. Yeah.
But here's the thing about the NCAA this year. It's on the same days. The NCAA starts Thursday. The State Boys Tournament starts Friday and Saturday. So I'm not even probably going to watch much of the NCAA first round. So I'll catch, you know, everything else. But we'll catch Sunday games.
Well, we'll call him.
Put your tape in the VCR.
That Danny's not happy because he can't watch.
Thank you. Thank you.
They got to play at 9 a.m.
Yeah. They're playing in Palo
Alto. They're playing NCAA games at noon. How dare they?
They're playing in Palo Alto when they've been playing on the East Coast all year. Hey, tell us about our show next week. We have two incredible guests coming in next week.
Yeah, Kim and Erford from Ottawa Glandorf.
It's not a comedy duo. It's a basketball duo. And you're not going to be here, right?
I will not.
I don't know what to do with my hands. I don't know why I'm not here.
It's my 1 year anniversary to the lovely Lexi. So
we're gonna do that.
We might even kiss each other.
Aww. You've been watching the Three Wise Men on WSN. Come join us next week.